You left your soul-sucking job, started your dream business, just to find yourself racing another race and doing all the things. In a world where achievements are directly connected to our status, burnout is often overlooked or even ignored. Today, I invited in specialist Dr. Zaria Rubin, a functional physician turned wellness expert and keynote speaker who helps high-achieving women overcome chronic stress and burnout. Welcome to the Online Business by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanek, and this is your mindset and marketing podcast to help you build a business next to your 9-to-5 without burning out. And most importantly, enjoying your business journey while you are making money and impact. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to build a business of your dreams is already within you. Welcome back, friends, to another episode of the Online Business by Design podcast, and welcome, Dr. Zaria. I'm so excited to have you on today's show because we need to debunk a lot of myths and we need to learn how we can prevent ourselves from burning out while we do what we love so much.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Shall we just dive right in? And I remember listening recently to your TEDx talk, and you were speaking about the wake up call. When did you wake up knowing that something is not the way it's supposed to be?
Yeah. Okay. Let's dive right into the deep end, shall we? So I think for many of us, unfortunately, it does often take a major event, whether it's a health scare or a major personal event, to kind of snap us out of the routine and the situation that we're in that maybe we have been tolerating for a long time. I also think that we have suspected it for a while. I often use the frog in the boiling water analogy when I talk about this. So you guys know the frog in the boiling water. If you take a frog and you put it in a pot of boiling water, what's it going to do? What's going to happen?
Jump out?
Yeah, the frog is going to jump out.
Okay.
But if you take a frog and you put it in a pot of nice room temperature water and you slowly turn up the heat 1 degree at a time, what's going to happen to that frog?
I would say poor frog, but I think
yes, it's going to probably boil for dinner. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, that's often the case with us, I think, as humans, is that we learn to sort of tolerate a situation. It's building up over time. It's accumulating. And so in my case, I was from the outside living a very successful life. I had, you know, gone to medical school. I had gone to Harvard. I did my residency. I was at Columbia. I was living in New York. I was, you know, fancy job, fancy career. I was an epileptologist, neurologist, you know, all the things, all the letters after my name. And yet I was very, very unhappy and burned out. I was exhausted. I couldn't get out of bed in the morning. I did not want to go to work. I was just dreaming about what can I do to not do this? But I didn't see a way out. Mm-hmm. I didn't think there was any other option. I thought, well, I guess this is what the rest of my life is going to look like. Even though I often literally thought in the morning when I was waiting for the subway, if the train was coming, should I get on it or should I jump in front of it?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And I just brushed that off as like, well, I guess, you know, it's just another day in the life of, you know, working and being miserable as an adult. And I didn't see a way forward or a way out. And then a very shocking thing happened. I got a phone call one night. So it's ironic that my wake up call was actually a literal phone call from my best friend informing me that her husband had been playing Frisbee and had suddenly collapsed. They rushed him to the hospital. And I thought, well, oh my gosh, he's okay though, right? And she said, no, he didn't make it. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I felt like my whole world kind of shattered, and the shock. And I don't know if I dropped the phone on the floor or I just sat there in disbelief thinking, oh my gosh, this is a young, healthy person who's the same age as I am. We're in our 30s. And I thought, if this is all there is, this is the rest of my life. Like, if something terrible could happen at any moment, I really saw my mortality flash before my eyes. And I knew in that moment that something had to change, that I could no longer go down this path and continue being this burned out and this unhappy. And so I made the really very difficult decision to walk away from a career that I had been working towards for so long. Mm-hmm. And I eventually did. I eventually left medicine and pursued other things and managed to find a happy life and met my husband, who happens to be a doctor, and, you know, had my daughter, and, you know, had to really rebuild and reconstruct a life when that had been my dream for so long, had been my identity for so long. And I couldn't wrap my head around walking away. But, you know, there was this proverb, this Turkish proverb that I came across at that critical moment that changed my life. And it was, no matter how far you've gone down the wrong road, turn back.
Wow. I have a goosebump moment.
Yeah. So that is what kind of gave me permission mm-hmm. and allowed me to walk away from something that was so important to me.
And you mentioned something very important there, because you said you had to walk away from something that you worked so hard for. If I now translate this into the business world, you by now know, because you took a different path, that building a business is not always the easiest thing we choose.
No. I think it's the easy button.
It can be fun, but it's the biggest self-development journey. We do wear a lot of hats till we can distribute them differently. So it is hard. And I think it's hard to believe often that even if we are achieving, and I am a high achiever too, and so are you, and so are many listeners that are listening here, that first of all, we are doing something we love so much. Secondly, it's not the easiest thing we choose for. And then I think there is a very, very thin grade of how far can I go? Mm-hmm. What is exhaustion? What is tired? And what is burnout? Can you take us through the stages and give us perhaps some feels, emotions, so we can understand or easier understand in what stage we are, what we feel?
And yeah. So this is a really great, really important point and question. And I think that, unfortunately, many, many people, even though it's a buzzword and it's out there, you know, the concept of burnout, even though it hasn't been around for that long, the term came about in the 1970s. It started out as a term that was to describe drug use and drug abuse among addicts. And this psychologist who was working with them decided to adopt the term and use it to describe the healthcare workers who were caring for these people and had burned out themselves. But even though the term has not been around for that long, it's popular. It's a buzzword, like you say. I still feel like most people will misidentify themselves. They will not say they are burned out when they are. I think most people, myself included, I would never have said I was suffering from burnout. It just didn't cross my mind. I was like, well, that's not me. I'm fine. I mean, I'm fine. I can do it. Everyone, like, I'm not, it's not that bad. Well, it's not bad. So there's a lot of debate and discussion in the field, and there hasn't been enough hardcore scientific research in burnout, which we definitely need. But there are pretty much three hallmark characteristics of burnout that you should be on the lookout for and you should pay attention to. And the first one is exhaustion. And yes, that's not a very precise term, but you have to think about, you know, am I just tired, or is this deeper? Is this more? Now, if you're just tired, maybe you got a bad night's sleep, maybe you have a deadline, maybe you've been burning the midnight oil. Now, there are seasons and there are projects and push times where you have to, you know, or if you have like a young baby at home, of course you might be exhausted. But let's say you get some rest over the weekend, or you take a vacation and you feel refreshed, you feel better. That's not the case with burnout. You will not recover. You will not feel better. You go on vacation. Sometimes you even feel worse. because your nervous system is so used to being in this heightened fight or flight state that taking a break just feels like impossible. So exhaustion, number one. Number two, it's kind of hard to describe and to quantify, but it's a sense of cynicism. It's a lack of trust in what you're doing. It's a lack of faith. It's a belief. What is the point of all this? You may not feel valued by the organization if you are working for others. If it's for working for yourself, you might just say, you know what? I don't know why I'm even doing this. What's the point? I should quit. I should give up. This is useless. A lot of negative feelings and cynical feelings about what it is that you're doing. And maybe it's misaligned with your values also.
May I shortly interrupt here before
Yeah,
we
of
go
course.
on to three? And just I'm catching myself quite often. But let's not say often, but often when we when something doesn't go the way as predicted, or when we are tired, it feels sometimes like our confidence never existed. You wake up, you're tired, and be like, "What am I even doing here?" But I know that I am why I'm doing this, and now I'm gonna say it, maybe. Let's hope not. I don't think I have burnout. But how long does this cynicism or these negative thoughts take? Is this something we can get easily out of? Or is really in a burnout state that we stay in this negativity where we do not see easily our way out, where our daily
I think
routines, habits do
that's
not help?
exactly the point. We all have our bad days. We all have our days. We wake up and we think, oh, I can't do this. Or you maybe we have a failed launch or something and we think, oh, I'm not cut out for this. Maybe I should just go back to a 9 to 5, or but it's fleeting and you get past it. And maybe you still have that drive or that passion or that sense that, you know what? I really do love this. This is really important. Sure, I had a setback, but I'm going to keep at it. But when it comes to burnout, it's very different and it usually lasts longer. I'm going to say, you know, weeks to months. I mean, it's a longer term persistence of that sensation. And then if you are in a caregiving field, if you are a physician, a nurse, an EMT, you know, you start to develop something called compassion fatigue, where you actually no longer have compassion for the people that you are serving and helping and working with. And then you start to feel guilt and shame around that. And that is another classic hallmark of burnout that I think just the regular, you know, doubting yourself or having a setback, having your confidence shaken, it's definitely different because you can move past that more easily.
Thank you for elaborating on this. So we had number one was exhaustion that doesn't go
Exhaustion.
away when we, even if we rest, even if we go on
Yeah,
vacation.
it's like a bone tiredness, a deep tiredness where you're just like, I can't even get up off the couch, maybe. And maybe it's doom scrolling, maybe it's binging Netflix, maybe it's like you are also like kind of numbed out.
Number
And
two,
then
you
here's the
said
cynicism.
cynicism, and number three.
And then the third feature, classic feature of burnout is decreased productivity. So you're not as productive, you're inefficient, you can't concentrate, you're more irritable, you know, either at work or in a home setting, or just like you may be still able to do your job and people might not suspect, but you know that you're not working at your full capacity and that you're just not as productive as you used to be. It's kind of the quiet quitting phenomenon that we see nowadays, that we hear about. But yeah, so those are the three classic, the triad of symptoms of burnout. Now it generally has to, you know, last more than a couple of days or even a couple of weeks. It's a longer term phenomenon. It's like the difference between an acute stress and a chronic stress, or stress that is just dragged out over a long period of time. Our systems, our nervous system, our bodies, our minds are designed for challenges and resilience in the short term, but we're not designed to be that stressed and that demoralized and that exhausted over the long term. It stops working physically, mentally, and that's how we reach burnout.
I see this a lot in our praise-based society, that loads of people, unfortunately, like we are not often judged by what we do, but it goes into the direction of how well we do it. So it becomes somewhat that everything we do needs to be done so good. So everybody on the outside world sees how great we are doing and what we are doing. Failure is not permitted, and being weak is not allowed, and being tired is not allowed. So we push, 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 do, do, do. And you mentioned in that TED Talk, which I was so impressed with, and I would love to put this in the show notes because it's just such a juicy conversation that I so enjoyed listening to.
You
said we are trained to believe we are superhumans.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I think as physicians, for sure, that was part of our indoctrination in medical training. You don't take a break. You don't sleep. It's okay. You don't need to, you know, take a day off. You don't need to even have a doctor's appointment. Or my big joke in my TED Talk, I'll spoil it, was that the medical fact that I learned in medical school was that doctors don't pee because we don't have time. So that's just part of, yeah, I know, I got you. That's part of the mentality that we tell ourselves, that we are superhuman. And that's a dangerous way to think, because it's not true, first of all. Then we stop paying attention and listening to our body, to our mind, to our, you know, our check engine light. When that goes on, that's something to pay attention to. That's something to say, you know what? I need to do something different. I need to change. Yeah. I need to take a break. I need to pause. I need to take a day off. I need to sleep. And that just wasn't really an option back in the day. And I think it's just certain people gravitate towards those sorts of careers and jobs and paths. And we're, you know, we're driven, we're overachievers, and we don't see another way.
I think running a business is kind of being a doctor sometimes. At least this is what we put on ourselves, because
yeah. And I mean, when you work for yourself or you're running your own business, you think, oh, I have freedom, but then you also don't have work hours. You work 24/7. There's never, you could theoretically work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because
no doubt.
Stopping, there's no structure. And we're always connected to our devices, to our phones. I mean, we used to at least have that break where you're not necessarily even reachable.
Absolutely.
We don't have that anymore.
So now, if someone listening finds him or herself in the position of experiencing one, two, or even three of these symptoms, what is the next step?
Well, I think that so often with burnout, we suffer in silence.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk to anyone. We don't tell anyone. We don't tell our friends. We don't tell our coworkers. We don't tell our spouses or partners or whatever. We're just afraid to tell anyone because it's weakness, or everyone else seems to be handling it, you know? So I think being more open is so important, and having that communication and having that support from others, very important. I think also, you know, seeking professional help is really important, whether that's a physician, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, a coach, whatever HR resources at your workplace are available. You know, if you work for yourself, it's not going to be there, but I think take advantage of whatever resources are available and get help. And now, you know, you may need to take some time off. You may need to think about a different career. You may need to think about a different, branch within that career, or different job responsibilities. You may need to work part-time for a bit. You mean, you know, burnout is not something that you necessarily recover from very quickly. And what I found myself doing was I went from frying pan into fire, into more fire. And I just, when I left medicine, I ended up working at a startup, right? And then when I left that, I ended up working at a pharmaceutical company and very quickly becoming an executive. So I just went more and more, deeper and deeper into the stress, the high power, the intensity, because it's what I knew. It's what I knew. And what we're learning, what I learned over many decades and all my research on this, is that overachieving and success, we know it's associated with burnout. But what I didn't know was that it's also associated with childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And in some studies, 75% of high achievers have a history of trauma in childhood because we're hardwired for that fight or flight and that stress and that, constant
Prove
go, go,
our
go.
enoughness, to prove that we can do it, to prove that we can achieve anything. Is
Yeah,
this
it's
going
a
in that
combination
direction?
of finding our self-worth through achievement, and it's a combination of turning off those unbearable feelings of, stress and anxiety through work. Because when you're working that hard, you don't have time to feel all those things. And that's a slippery slope because you're already hardwired for burnout and you're
So,
already used to being in fight or flight mode.
when you mentioned that it can take long to get out of burnout, and in your case specifically, it was even getting worse than good, how long? What time
I mean,
frame do you us speaking about?
so for me, I mean, I don't want to discourage people, but because I didn't recognize it, so I did not recognize it. I did not define it. I did not diagnose it in myself because physicians sometimes were the worst. I was able to walk away from medicine, which was a huge help. And it did alleviate a lot of the burnout. But like I said, I went back into all these different things. So for me, it was more like a cycle. It would be like up and down, up and down, up and down. I would, get stressed and burn out, and then crash, and then take a break, and then go back and do over and over and over until, let's say, I had my daughter, and then, being a mom, that's a whole other thing. And if you have a really intense kid who's very high needs and has medical issues, that's a whole other set of stress and burnout. And it was until then I ended up getting actually physically very ill and being diagnosed with autoimmune disease, having to have emergency surgery, this and that. It was like, that's when I was like, okay, enough is enough. And then I had to really drastically reset my life. And that was about maybe 8 years ago.
So it was a long discovery time and then a
Yeah, it was about
longer
10 years of the
comeback.
discovery and then resetting and just learning different things. I had, like I stopped drinking coffee. I stopped doing like very intense exercise. There were a lot of things that I was doing that were not helping my nervous system regulate. And I used to joke that I was too stressed to meditate, so why would I even try meditating? Which is, of course, ridiculous. So, and now I started in, what was that? I started in 2018, I think, meditating. I have meditated every day now since then. And I highly recommend it. It's one of the first things I recommend to people is to get started with a meditation practice.
Getting inward. I remember it was my mid-20s, 26, 7, 8, when I was running my first business and I hit rock bottom mentally, physically, and financially. And that was for many reasons because I didn't know how to run a business and I was doing it to prove that I can. I think this is what you addressed before because nobody believed in me. And what I didn't ask for help, I didn't know how to do it, but there was also an underlying cause because I had an eating disorder at that time that I was so brilliantly covering because I was an athlete. So when you said it clicked with me, when you said that I should have known at that time because I was in the mindset and health industry, right? So I should have known better when I was doing intense sports to cover up my bulimia. And now, many years later, my body still gives me a re reaction of extreme exhaustion and almost it makes me feel sick and even a little feverish if I overdo sports. So this is something that is so within me still that I have to be so careful with myself. And it's incredible what I discovered. If I do it to prove someone that I can run a faster half marathon, I'll be tired. If I let go of any expectations and having to prove to anybody that I can do anything, I'll run faster in a trainings run. because I do it for me and I've got nothing afterwards. So this pattern is constantly repeating itself. And I haven't been thinking of it now in more than 10 years, but now you have brought it up. So it just makes sense that we often need to do things differently, like very differently than we have done them before.
Yeah, sometimes it is letting go of the expectations that we place on ourselves, the standards that we set for ourselves that are so high that no one can reach them. And that sort of almost, you know, self-abuse is exhausting. And we have to let go of that.
I would like to know your thought. So we know that it's often hard to say how far we can go. And what is critical here is that a human body can go on forever. And I always say, why do we always need to experience adversity or a breakdown before we do anything? Because this is often the path when people start building businesses, they take another path, they do. What is your experience and your thought on it? Why do we always need to experience the worst case scenario before we even wake up?
Human beings don't learn that well. Like we learn experientially and we don't necessarily learn from theory. We learn from touching the hot stove. And then you're not going to do it again. But if someone tells you theoretically, oh, you should be careful and not do this, we might still do it anyway.
It's and also I think it's that we can do it differently.
Yeah, it's also that balance of like, what is motivating you and what is the drive and the overdrive? And like, are we able to actually sort of temper that and mitigate that tendency to overdo it and overdrive and to set the standards so high rather than set it at a sustainable level and realize there's going to be sprints here and there. I'm going to use a running analogy, but you know, you can't run a marathon. I mean, I guess there are these ultra marathon people, but I mean, you can't run a marathon forever. And
I think ultra marathon runners do have, I think that's in their DNA. I think
yeah, it's they have different telomeres and this and that and mitochondria. And I don't know. But most of us can't really do that, you know? And I think it's the same with burnout and the pace and the sustained stress that we put ourselves under. Like, and yeah, the human body it's very resilient and can take a lot of abuse and use, and you can push things to the limit, but only so far and only for a certain amount of time. And eventually it's going to break.
Absolutely.
And we don't want to break the machine.
They're beautiful, talented machines. And I think we can give so much and do it in a manner that is really sustainable also for ourselves and not only giving away at all times. But I would let you speak about that. When, how can we prevent getting into burnout in first place?
Yeah, so I think it's a combination of number one, just the awareness and the education. If you're not aware of burnout and what it is and what it feels like and what it looks like, you're not going to prevent it because you don't even know how to recognize it. So I think really that education awareness piece is important, and it has to start young, you know? And we have to teach our kids and our girls especially that sometimes it's okay to take a break. It's okay to pace for yourself. It's okay to, you know, you can't be at 150% all the time. So I think there's that sort of mindset shift. I think there's also, we need to equip our kids and ourselves with the tools needed to have more nervous system regulation. So whether that's, you know, addressing childhood trauma and things early on, that needs to be done because otherwise you're working at a huge disadvantage. Whether that's building skills and habits like mindfulness, like meditation, like exercise that can be really good for you and fuel you. Sometimes a lot of high intensity cardio can be taxing on your nervous system. So you have to figure out what that looks like. I mean, I tell my folks, walking, yoga, swimming, dance, that kind of thing is gonna be more gentle. But, some people really like to run. So I'm not gonna tell them not to do that, but just to be mindful of that. So I think it's a combination of, the awareness and then the tools to build the resilience and then to, recognize the stressors that we have in our lives, because we're never going to not have stress. That's just a fact of life.
Life.
But it's a question of how much stress, how long, what can you take away? What can you maybe take off your plate? Do you have to have all the things all the time? And that feeds into kind of my magic coaching mantra that I share with people, which is the do one thing less method or philosophy. And yeah, I can explain a little bit about what that is, but it's just, I mean, it's a really simple concept that came up for me when I was working with patients and just hearing sometimes they were listing off to me all the things they had to do. And like, well, I have to do this and this and this, and I have to run to this and this appointment and go to this. And then I'm so tired, I can't get out of bed for 3 days. And I was like, okay, well, do you think you could do one thing less? And she was like, yeah. And so then that's how it evolved for me of like, oh my gosh, what if we didn't have to do all the things all the time? What if we could intentionally prioritize a bit better and place more value on the things that are more important and the things that are less important? It's the delete, delay, delegate. It's like
Not
maybe we
giving
can do
your
that.
energy away to your to-do list. And I think
Yes.
so, once we learn how to do to-do lists, we do them unapologetically, and everything goes on the to-do list.
Yeah, and it's like, well, it's on my list. I have to do it. And
Yeah,
sometimes
tick
I
it
will
off.
find myself falling into that trap. I'm running errands and I have to go here and I have to go to this store and I have to go get groceries. And I was like, do I have to get groceries? We can get by. We have enough groceries. It'll be okay. Like just taking that one thing off your list that, and the analogy I use is like you're clearing dishes off a table and you've got all these dishes piled up and you've got the plates and they're stacked and you're carrying them. And then there's like one cup that's left on the table. And you think, okay, what am I going to do? Well, people are going to go get the cup, right? Because you can't go back for another trip. And then what happens? You put the cup on, and then all the dishes crash down. And then you're spending all this time sweeping up broken glass. And you got to buy new dishes. It's so the
And the
doing one thing
to-do list grows.
less, right? So it's counterintuitive sometimes because it's like I said, it's a very simple strategy. It's not necessarily easy. So some people feel like, well, I can't do that because it's doing less. So I'm going to be less productive and da, 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 da. No, you'll actually be more productive and more focused because you're not going to be sweeping up broken glass all the time.
My mom said something very smart to me that I saw. I'm carrying this with me at all times because she told me, like, well, you didn't do your laundry today? Guess what? It's gonna be there for you tomorrow. Like, ain't gonna go nowhere. Like, before you
Right,
do it, it's not
right.
gonna run away. So just leave it for another day if today is not the day.
And it doesn't rule you. The laundry's not in charge. You're in charge. And I think sometimes we are ruled also by like our devices and our notifications and like, oh, I have to respond. I have to respond. Like in the second that you get a notification, no, turn them off. Turn them off. Unless you are an emergency, firefighter, doctor on call, whatever. It's not on fire. The world is not, it's not an emergency. You can not have to respond in that nanosecond of that constant state of like ping, 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 ping. That creates a sense of high alert in your nervous system, because we are very primitive creatures living in a very modern society, but our DNA and our nervous system is still hardwired from the Stone Age. And, running away from a saber-toothed tiger. But today, we're being chased by a nasty comment online or by a bad email or whatever. And it's like your nervous system does not know the difference.
This is hitting hard. If we think of how much running we do, how much things we do that we think are important, but as well in business as in life, there are priorities and there are only the things we really need to do are the ones that pay into our success account. And if we break that down, I think the list becomes very small.
Yeah. No, I think it's smaller than we think. I think we think that we have to do, have to do, have to do. And then can you ask for help? Can you say, hey, you know, partner, whatever, can you do this thing? Because I'm doing all the things. Or your kid, you know, our kids are more capable than we think. Now they'll often say no, but you know, hey, can you maybe do your own laundry, clear your plate, something? I always say to my kids, sometimes I'm like, I know I'm not the maid. We have to work together and yeah. as a family, and the burden doesn't always have to be on one person, which is usually the mother.
What about the guilt when we do one thing less?
Well, I think that we, you know, we just have to let go of it because you're not giving up the things that are really important. You're not going to, the one thing less is not going to be missing your kid's concert at school. Like that's not, you know, the, how the method works. Like you have to choose, you have to pick and choose your things. And like, should you feel guilty about not doing the laundry today? No, we shouldn't. And if we do, that's a problem. Then we are being too hard on ourselves. We are setting standards and expectations that are not realistic. And we have to let that go if we want to be happy and not burned out.
Yeah. Thank you so much for talking us through this, because I think we do not learn this in a young age. I think it's there's still so much work to do and so much self-awareness to gain as well. Like, how do I really, like, how much do I run around in my day-to-day life, and what do I all do that is not necessary? And it just becomes also such a, oh, I did so great, I did so much today feeling, and it's a sense of achievement, but it can go down the spiral pretty quick, as we learned today. And I want to say thank you so much, Dr. Zaria, for taking us through this and being vulnerable and open and telling us what can happen, and but how beautiful it actually can be.
Yeah, thank you. I will say one more thing, because it just occurred to me that we never even talked about this, that when we are younger, we have more capacity and more energy to do all these things. And then you'll find, as a woman, when you get to midlife, the game changes and your hormones change and your metabolism changes and your nervous system changes. Everything changes. And what got you here will not get you there. And that is a great kind of awakening and a wake-up call as well, when you suddenly realize, okay, I need to do things differently.
I love that. Thank you for rounding up. I think this is very important to take in as well, because we tend to say like, oh, I'm getting older, it's getting harder. But I think if we do things differently, then getting older, it doesn't matter if we know how to do things so they actually suit us,
right?
And we do not adjust oneself to the world and the expectations once more. Yeah.
100%.
My question that I love to round up our conversation with is, how would you like to spend your old days, Dr. Zaria?
Oh gosh. I mean, probably by the ocean somewhere, on the beach, somewhere beautiful. I'm also thinking like the Mediterranean, or, you know, the Caribbean, somewhere really beautiful where it's warm, where there's ocean, where there's sunshine. And I've been taking up lately watercolor painting. So I will be painting by the ocean and enjoying the good life and good food, good friends, family.
I can see you there.
And I'm sending me
this
too.
I gotta make the universe. I'm sending this conversation to the universe.
I'm gonna manifest for sure, yeah.
So it may pave the path for you. Thank you so much for being here today.
It was my pleasure. Yeah, thank you.